If you will, real quick, turn to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs 3. I'm going to use that for my first one. I have about five or six quick points. I do mean real quick. I wasn't sure how long that was going to go earlier. I get kind of nervous and talk really fast. I got to slow down a little bit. But one of the first points I have is trust God when you can't track him. Trust God when you don't understand his ways. Faith obeys even when God's instructions are difficult. There will be times in life when God's direction seems confusing or difficult. Abraham teaches us that faith rests not in the explanation in God's explanations, but in God's faithfulness. Because God is always, always faithful. Abraham didn't have the full picture. Faith is obeying the last thing God told you to do, even when the next step tends to not make any sense. This reminds me as a kid, you know, mom and dad correcting you or trying to tell you, give you some advice. You get a little bit older and you started doing it. Oh, that was easier. Oh, that makes sense. I wish I listened a lot earlier. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. So keep that close to heart. The second thing I have, is there an Isaac on your altar? As I mentioned before, if you think about Abraham waiting on that promised son, 25 years, finally had it. What a great treasure. Look at your life. What do you consider your great treasure? Your kids, your job, your boat, your home, your health. When you think about the things God has blessed us with, just like Abraham, you want to make sure you hold those gifts with open hands. Don't just grasp on them and hold on to it for your dear life. Isaac was God's gift to Abraham, but Abraham refused to place the gift above the giver. Isaac is anything good given to us by God that we have allowed to take place of God. It could be a career. Also, I didn't mention that one earlier, but ask yourself whether there's anything such as a relationship, career, possessions, or dreams that has become more important than your devotion to God. That wasn't the case of Abraham. What was more important to him was obeying what God wanted him to do. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 tells us to but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. The third lesson I have is God's provisions is timed to your footsteps. God's provision is timed to your footsteps. So obedience often precedes understanding. Abraham did not have all the answers before he obeyed. He moved forward in faith, trusting that God will reveal his provisions at the right time. The ram, when he got up in the morning to go deliver his son, the ram wasn't at the tent. The ram wasn't at the bottom of the mountain. Where was the ram found? It was after he went to the altar, he picked up that knife, and he was following through what God had commanded him to do. And then what was provided there was what he actually needed. And so a lot of times in life, we're waiting for an answer, but you know what? We haven't started stepping. We haven't started walking with God. We haven't started doing the things that we're supposed to be doing. James 1, verse 22 tells us, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. And if you skip down to verse 25, it says, but he who continues in the perfect law of liberty, continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but does the work, this one will be blessed in what he actually does. So a lot of times, well, I know you're telling me to do that, but I don't think that'll work. Try it. Try it. And see what actually happens. The fourth lesson or point we have is God always keeps his promises. And we all know that. Although Abraham could not see the outcome, God remained faithful to him. When circumstances seem to contradict God's promises, remember that God's timing and methods may differ from our expectations. But his faithfulness never, ever fails. I don't want to say never too many times because I make it a double positive, right? I don't want to do that. But in Numbers chapter 23, verse 19, it says, God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said and he will not do? Or has he spoken and he will not make it good? So what God says he's going to do, he's going to do. And we find that also in 2 Corinthians 1:20, where it says, for all the promises of God in him are yes and in him amen. So we have to remember that. Number five, when I think about Jehovah Jireh, God is our provider. Remember, God is the one who provides for us. Abraham discovered that God provided exactly what he needed at the exact right time, as we mentioned earlier. Trust God with your needs, knowing that he sees what you cannot see. When we look in that word of what that Jireh actually means, Philippians 4:19 says, and my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Anytime that you're struggling with things, pray to God. Pray to God and wait for that answer. It might be no. It might be yes. It might be later. But you never know anything if you don't knock, right? You have to knock. You have to try. That goes also with Matthew chapter 6, verses 31 through 33. Ooh, I am running out of time. I'm going to get this last point right here. God's test reveals and strengthens us, in our faith. God was not trying to destroy Abraham's faith, but to deepen and to demonstrate it. Trials often become opportunities for spiritual growth and greater dependence on God. James chapter 1 says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, but let patience have its perfect work, then you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, it says, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if you need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes through its tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory and the revelation of Jesus Christ. So when we are tested and tried in life, you should come out stronger, all right? Have a greater faith. And I think we can see that through Abraham's life when he first struggled with, hey, I got to be asked twice to leave. He did move, waiting on his dad. I had to be corrected twice for lying about my wife. All right. I had to try to help you out in trying to get that promised son, but we actually have that there. One other thing we can think about is that testing started a long time ago, right? When do you stop being tested? Never. You keep that in mind as you keep going. One thing I want to allude to in my closing real quick is that when you think at Genesis chapter 2, we have a father and a son. It's a shadow of another father and a son, right? Our great heavenly father and his son, Jesus Christ. When we look at our story, if I can find my chart, I mean, all right, if we look at our story in Genesis chapter 22, where the father takes his beloved son to be sacrificed. But if we look at John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That was God's goal. When we look back in Genesis chapter 22, how many days did it take for that journey? 3 days, right? How many days was Jesus in the tomb? 3 days. We find that in 1 Corinthians 15:4. In Genesis chapter 22, we also saw Isaac had to carry his own wood, which would have to be a heavy burden, right? Knowing what's going to actually happen and questioning what's going on. And John 19:17, Jesus carries his own wooden cross up to Calvary. And then in our Genesis 22 story, God provides a substitute, the ram that was caught in the thicket for his son. Now for us, because of sin and falling short, missing the mark of what God wants, we're worthy of death. But there's a substitute, and that substitute was Jesus. In James 1:29, John said, the next day, John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. I hope you got something out of this lesson tonight. I kind of went kind of fast and didn't know where to go, but we got it. A couple of things. Maybe you're here tonight and you're not a child of God, but you do believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And you're willing to confess that in front of men. Not only are you willing to do that, you're willing to also repent of the sin that's in your life and be willing to be baptized. And once you're baptized, you come up out of that watery grave, you'll be free from sin. Now, that's just the starting line. It's not the finish line. Revelation 2:10 tells us that we need to remain faithful until death, even if that causes us to actually die. And you think about that, Stephen understood that in Acts chapter 17. Yeah, 17, because that's what actually happened to him. So keep that in mind there. Maybe you're here tonight and you are a child of God, but just like Abraham a couple of times, you stumbled, you questioned God, you did something that you weren't supposed to do, and has done it publicly. If you want prayers or anything that you need at this time, please come forward as we stand and sing.